Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the service for Sunday, the 7th of February 2021. And this has been brought to us by Jeff Lomas. The heading is Discipleship, and the reading is Mark 1:14 to 20. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. We will be reminded this morning that our call by God doesn't have anything to do with who or what we are, but rather with what he might make us to become. This was particularly true of the first little band of disciples, whose call to repent and believe was immediately followed by a more particular calling to apostleship. Yet in some ways the call to be fishers of men belongs to the whole church, and it is a paradigm for each of us. After Jesus' baptism by John and his successful wilderness encounter against Satan, this short passage introduces a seemingly ominous note to Mark's gospel narrative. John was put in prison. However, this was nothing less than what the Baptist had come to expect. As he has had himself said, he must increase, but I must decrease. John had preached a baptism for the remission of sins. The Baptist had also proclaimed beforehand the coming of Jesus. Now Jesus announced the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. For centuries the world had awaited a saviour. And now the time was coming, fulfilling prophecy and meeting expectation and hope. The kingdom of God was manifested among his people, and so Jesus set about building his team, disciples also known as apostles. There are some differences between the accounts of the calling of some of the disciples. E.g. Mark tells us that Andrew and his brother were actually fishing when Jesus called them, whereas John says that Andrew was one of the two disciples of John the Baptist who left John to follow Jesus. We mustn't let these different witness accounts muddy the waters, taking our focus away from Jesus. The call of Jesus is totally authoritative. The response of Simon and Andrew was immediate and complete. They left their nets and followed him. And James and John, like their ancestor Abraham before them, left their father's house, not knowing where they were going, and they followed Jesus. The next to be invited are Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew. Philip is found by Jesus as Jesus prepares to leave for Galilee. Philip already knows Andrew and Peter as they live in Bethsaida. Bartholomew was under a fig tree having a conversation about Jesus with Philip, famously asking, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" while Matthew was sat at the seat of custom, collecting taxes for the Romans. Thomas was also called Didymus, the Greek translation of the Hebrew title Thomas, both meaning twin. In the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark and Luke, Thomas is mentioned only in the listings of the apostles and is one of the main characters in two important stories. We discover from the story of Thomas that he was sincerely pledged to his master, and yet he fought with uncertainties and questions. On the day of the resurrection, Jesus appeared to a group of his disciples. Thomas was not with them for this notable event. After the disciples later explained to Thomas where they had witnessed the resurrected Lord, he answered, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." With those memorable words, Thomas acquired a nickname that he would be identified with throughout history, Doubting Thomas. Interestingly, three of them had nicknames: Simon Peter, Rock; James and John, Sons of Thunder. Bartholomew is identified with Nathanael and Thaddeus with Judas, son of James, not Iscariot. Simon the Zealot is also known as Simon the Canaanite, meaning the zealous one. So these are the names of the 12 apostles as recorded by Matthew. Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. Consider the choosing of Simon the Zealot and Matthew, sometimes called Levi. Matthew was very pro-government as a tax collector, and Simon the Zealot was militantly anti-government. Yet these two political extremes found common ground in Jesus. Amongst the group we have a reactionary, a revolutionary rebel, two with anger management problems, at least one was a zealot, one was easily confused, one had a sarcastic tongue, one was a tax collector, one was a doubter. One was one thing on the inside but totally different on the outside, and the rest, at best, well, a bunch of nobodies. Now he calls the rest of the disciples, but not before he'd prayed. The scriptures record that Jesus prayed constantly, and on this occasion he would have been asking specific guidance. By the time scholars believe that Jesus had quite a following, they believe he had about 100 or so followers. So why did Jesus feel the Father wanted him to call 12 from among the followers? 12 who would be especially close to Jesus and preach and teach the gospel as he did. Well, 12 is a significant number in scripture. There's the 12 tribes of Israel. 24 elders before God's throne in Revelation represent 12 tribes of the Old Testament and 12 apostles of the New. There are 12 precious stones on Aaron's breastplate. 12 spies led the way to the Promised Land. There's 12 gates and 12 foundations to the new holy city. There's 12 different fruits on the tree of life. They became known as the 12. Even after the resurrection, Judas Iscariot is replaced by Matthias to make up numbers, but he doesn't appear to be mentioned again. As we have found, Jesus called all kinds of people to be disciples. We've seen Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas. All were totally different, but Jesus had a purpose for each of them. There are three more who were somewhat neglected compared to the others. We're going to look in a little more detail at the forgotten apostles, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Thaddeus, also known as Judas, son of James, and Lebbeus. If it weren't for the important individual accounts of Thomas's encounters with Jesus, he too would have been a fourth member of this select forgotten group. These three are like the vast majority of Christians. They live, they work, they're faithful, they die, all without little or no recognition. They never get their names in the church bulletin, they never teach a Bible class, they never get the spotlight in any way. They simply follow Jesus in the background, do what Jesus calls them to do. We can probably learn more about Christian attitude, behaviour, relationship and discipleship from what little information we have available about them than the higher profile members of the team. All we know about this James, James the son of Alphaeus, is his first name and his father's name, and that he was one of the original 12. His name is only mentioned four times, Matthew 10, Mark 3, Luke 6 and Acts chapter 1. In each list, James, the son of Alphaeus, is mentioned in the ninth position, and nothing is recorded of anything James said or did. We know less about James, the son of Alphaeus, than any of the other 11. Some believe he could have been the brother of another disciple whose father had the same name. Mark records in chapter 2, verse 14, "And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." This suggests he has the same job and possibly even name as Matthew. If this James is the brother of Matthew, he may have become a follower of Jesus when he saw the tremendous change in his brother. But we'll not know for sure if they were brothers until we get to heaven. However, we do know that this James's mother was among the women at Jesus' crucifixion and tomb, together with the mother of Zebedee's children. Tradition says James, the son of Alphaeus, was stoned to death by the Jews for preaching Christ and was buried in Jerusalem. James's faithfulness to the Lord puts his name in a much more important place. Revelations 21:14, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. His name will be just as great as Peter or John. James represents people like you and me, quiet believers serving the Lord behind the scenes, and yes, often going unrecognised and unappreciated, but that's okay. Matthew 6 says so. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward before your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honoured by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. The lesson we learn from James, the son of Alphaeus, is that all faithful believers will be rewarded equally. Then there was Judas, the son of James, once named Lebbeus and better known as Thaddeus. Judas as a name could be a problem today. That's a shame though, because it's a good name. It's the Greek form of the Hebrew name Judah. One of Jesus' half-brothers was named Judas. There is only one record of the words of Thaddeus. It's during a conversation in the upper room on the evening before crucifixion. He wanted to know why Jesus was going to reveal himself only to them and not to the world, to which Jesus replies that he would reveal himself to anyone ready to receive him. That's all we know about him. Thaddeus, quiet, unselfish, evangelistic. Tradition says he preached in what is today Turkey, where he died a martyr's death. The name Zelotes or Canaanite tells us a lot about Simon Zelotes. The Zelotes were a particular political party fanatically opposed to the Roman rule of Palestine. They were passionate patriots of Judaism, believing that Israel was the Holy Land and should not be dominated by any foreign Gentile power. He was a partisan for Jewish independence, trying to overthrow the Romans through assassinations and terrorism. Zealots were famous for carrying curved daggers used to assassinate anyone, even their own people, who conspired with or supported the Romans. It was the Zealots who took control of Jerusalem in the early ADs, causing Titus and his Roman army to destroy and burn the city. Their last stronghold was Masada, and that was a mountain fortress that fell to Rome in AD 73. How amazing is it that Jesus chose both Matthew and Simon Zelotes as disciples? Matthew collected taxes to support Rome. Simon would not have given a second thought to murdering a Jew who collaborated with Rome. Had they met under different circumstances, Simon would have gladly stuck a dagger into Matthew. Imagine his thoughts when he heard Jesus say, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." In reality, Jesus called a ragtag bunch as his top 12. Not everyone's called to the office of apostleship, but every Christian does nevertheless have a part to play. Not everyone belongs in a pulpit, but each has a message to share. The fishermen's tasks are many. Simon and Andrew were casting their nets, according to Mark. James and John were mending theirs in their father's ship, surrounded by servants who no doubt had their own tasks to fulfil. The Lord has also called us to repentance and faith, but it's for each of us to determine for ourselves what part the Lord is instructing us to play in the evangelisation of the world. As a group, the disciples can be regarded as a blueprint for both doing and being church. To repeat, we have found that Jesus called all kinds of disciples and people to be disciples. We've seen some of the characteristics of Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, and Thomas. They were all totally different, but Jesus had a purpose for each of them. In many ways, the forgotten, or almost forgotten three, provide the most important message. They represent people like you and me. Quiet believers serving the Lord behind the scenes. And yes, often going unrecognised and unappreciated, but earning that equal reward that Jesus promises. God bless you all in the coming week. Amen.